Welcome to the Movie Bench Quarterbacking Podcast. This podcast features geeks brought together by fate to discuss movies and all things geek culture. Enjoy the show. It's Jay, back in for another one, and tonight I have with me...
Captain Keith.
What's good, what's good?
Oh, not much, man. Living in the dream, 2024, y'all.
Already went by fast.
Yeah, man.
So with this movie, I first saw a trailer, and the person that was in the trailer that caught my eye was a few people, but the main person that caught my eye was Mahershala Ali. And Mahershala, we've been talking about him for a minute, especially when he was talking about doing the Blade movie, which I don't know what's going on with that.
Right.
And even though I want to see it, do I really want to see it now? It's just like, it says a lot about him to say, if it's not right, take it back. This script is not right. It takes a lot to do that. It's just funny how a blessing to Marvel, they wasn't ready for the blessing, and then it just kind of backfired, because I know it would have thrown stuff off. I'm sure they didn't have a high priority for Blade, but then we have an Academy Award winner like Mahershala saying, hey, I want to be Blade. I'm sure they were thinking like, that's perfect. But it just seemed like ever since they tried to make that work without it being in their normal schedule, it just seemed like everything just kind of fell apart with that. But I still look out for the brother. I still appreciate his acting and what he contributes to movies and stuff. So I was excited to see that he's going to be in this movie. So I was like, let me take a mental note of the movie. I want to be sure that I check it out. It looks kind of intriguing. When I saw the trailer, it kind of made me think of Knock at the Woods, the M. Night movie that came out with the Before Strangers to the Door, and you know, you're kind of questioning what they're there for and who they are. So yeah. It kind of reminded me of that kind of thing. I was like, okay, that'd be cool. And then when I saw it was going to be on Netflix, I'm like, that's crazy. So the fact that it's on Netflix had me a little bit concerned, because I'm like, the quality of Netflix films could be hit or miss. And then also, I was thinking like, well, for sure, I won't miss it then, because it's on Netflix. I'll be sure to see it, you know. You don't have to worry about going to the theaters to go check it out. Also, I saw that it had Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke, folks like that. And it just seemed very, very interesting. How'd you first hear about this movie?
I think I saw the trailer on Netflix too. I mean, I was curious because, you know, I was never an Ethan Hawke fan until about 2-3 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, man. When he was younger, he used to just get on my nerves, man.
You ever seen him in the movie Gattaca?
That was the only time I liked him, man. Like when I first saw him in Reality Bites.
Okay.
He played this pretentious musician, and maybe he was just too good in that.
Sometimes that happens, yeah.
But Gattaca, I liked him, and Gattaca was dope.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like Julia Roberts, but she's been gone for so long,
yeah,
and she's been so hit or miss. Although I did like her in this,
yeah,
I'll get into that. But I saw the trailer and I didn't know what it was going to be. I was just kind of curious, you know. But when you see Mahershala Ali knocking at the door with this black woman and this, you know, and Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke opening the door, mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, is this gonna? I was wondering if it was going to be on some Purge stuff. So I knew I was curious. And then when we find out who the producers were, and then when I went to the barbershop like a month ago, one of the cats there was like, oh man, you gotta watch that movie, man. And it was an older cat talking about, you gotta see that, man.
Yeah.
And he talks about the people who produced it, and he said, they're kind of messing with you. And that piqued my curiosity even more once he said that.
So you knew the producers before you watched it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But not when I saw the trailer.
Yeah, I'll find out after I watched it. And it did kind of make me wonder why, but yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. All right, well, let's get into it. Well, the movie that we're discussing is called Leave the World Behind. And as we said before, it's a Netflix film. It's starring Julia Roberts, Mahershala Ali, and Ethan Hawke. The premise for it is a family getaway to a luxurious rental home takes an ominous turn when a cyber attack knocks out their devices and two strangers appear at their door. Non-spoiler, but what was your feelings about the movie?
Started off slow. Mm-hmm. It had a very weird feel to it in a very authentic, organic way. It didn't feel forced.
Yeah.
I knew something was going to go. I just didn't know what.
Yeah.
But when they went to the beach, mm-hmm. that was the beginning. I'm like, okay. To quote Keith Sweat, something just ain't right. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was definitely food for thought. It played into stereotypes, unfortunately, mm-hmm. which was kind of predictable, but even though it played into stereotypes, I was kind of surprised at how deep they kind of went with that, because they showed you the negative and the positive with the stereotype. Now, so it played into stereotypes and part of it didn't. Mm-hmm. And what I mean when I say that is Julia Roberts being married to Ethan Hawke, even the opening dialogue that she had when she made that statement about how she felt about people, that was new, that was different. That was setting us up not to really like her as a person or as a character. But the reaction when Mahershala Ali and the person he was with opened the, you know, came to the door, and Ethan Hawke and Julia Roberts, the characters, answered the door, it played into stereotype where she's this white woman who's suspicious of this black couple, but it didn't play into stereotype that her white husband was like, hey, nice to meet you. You know, yeah. he was all about it. Usually, you would think it might be the other way around, where he'd be suspicious and she'd be mine, and she might be a little bit more open. But I mean, but there was a stereotype, and there wasn't. It was interesting. It was like a contrast.
Yeah.
But what I thought was even more interesting with her character and her arc is how she was so suspicious of them, especially him, as this black man. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not who you say you are. She didn't say that, but her actions implied that. But then later on, you know, the 180 she does. And I felt like that was very symbolic of a lot of white women and black men in America. Mm. You know, unless we're talking about someone who's already been involved with black men, you know, a lot of times there's this, oh, I don't know you. You know, who are you? You're threatening, you know. Yeah. But so how do you go from being threatened to being attracted? You know, I thought that was very interesting how they showed that, because that's something you usually see in film if people were reading in between the lines, in my opinion. So I thought that was very interesting when I noticed that, the 180 that she did.
So did you enjoy the film?
The film was great. I enjoyed the film. It got into my head. And because when I knew who the producers were, that's what really got into my head. If I hadn't known who the producers were, I would say, okay, this is a cool kind of sci-fi-ish, you know, dystopian kind of film going on. This is cool. Mm-hmm. But when I found out who the producers were, I'm like, what are you telling me here? What's really going on here? Why did y'all produce this film? You know, and maybe that was the intent. I mean, I don't know. Maybe that was part of the whole mystique or the intent to, you know, in regards to producing this film. But it was a good story. If anything, it may have been too realistic.
Okay.
And that scares me even more, but that makes the film even more culturally relevant. So it's definitely a film that I would buy, a film I would recommend. Like I said, I haven't seen Julia Roberts in a long time, really. She did that movie with George Clooney. I didn't watch it, where she's their exes.
I like
that
a lot.
I didn't watch that. I heard it was supposed to be good. Yeah. Even though I didn't like her in this film, I didn't like her, but I did. No, and she hasn't lost a step. She's still great. Yeah. And like I said, Ethan Hawke won me over a little while ago. So, and Mahershala Ali never disappoints. And the lady who played his daughter was great too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I liked her. I liked their relationship. I liked how I felt like she was helping to keep him grounded. And she was telling him things that he might not have wanted to hear, that he needed to hear. So yeah, it was a good movie. And even the ending, I just shook my head because I was agitated. But once again, it was realistic. I mean, because there was a lot going on. I feel like the movie was written very well. It was very realistic. Yeah, so yeah, I liked it.
Okay. I enjoyed it. It's funny, when I first saw the trailer, my head was really trying to figure out what was going on. But I told myself just to kind of be in a moment with it and just kind of take it as it unfolds. I really enjoyed it. It was a slow burn, but I didn't mind that if I figure it's interesting enough or enough stuff comes up to kind of keep me, you know, keeps my mind moving on it. So it definitely did that. Pretty far along in the movie, it did a lot of good establishment. And so when things started rolling, you know, it really just kind of took it to another level. But I enjoyed the acting and everything. Mahershala for sure. Like I said, Julia Roberts, you know, her character, it was very interesting and different for her. Usually she's America's sweetheart. And the movie definitely had a vibe. And also, which I think is interesting, and after, you know, watching it and hearing you know, people's feelings about it. I can understand how they might feel about the premise in one and then the ending for another, but I still did enjoy it because sometimes for me, my main concern is really like, did I enjoy the journey? You know, sometimes I might not understand or like the ending or how something ends, but sometimes if something keeps me intrigued, then I don't mind going for that ride. But like I said, the movie definitely had a vibe to it. But I like these kind of movies. So I thought it was a fun little watch on Netflix. And I think if you're a person that, you know, like Knock at the Woods and things like that, those kind of stories where, you know, it almost feels like a play and limited amount of characters and it's a lot of dialogue and talking with layers and things like that. It's one of those kind of films. So if you like that kind of stuff, I think you would dig this one. All right, so let's get into spoilers. So the vibe of it, which was definitely strong and different to me, almost like M. Night in a way, but different. When I realized who the director and co-writer of it was I think his name is Sam Esmail, and he's the guy who did Mr. Robot. And so if you ever watched the show Mr. Robot, that's a trippy kind of, you know, mind screw kind of show with a lot of conspiracies and things like that. So it fit with this kind of a story. So when I realized that's who the director and co-writer was, it made sense. This is more or less like that kind of a story. The premise was interesting. I will say the way it unrolled things is very interesting. I understood why it rolled out things a certain kind of way, but I also felt that in a way it kind of made questions that didn't have to be there or stretched out the suspicion. So say they had somebody say something that was kind of off. You think, oh, that's not too cool. The way they set up the characters or the situation, you're kind of questioning the intent or why this is happening. So like you were saying about Julia Roberts' character in the beginning, making a comment saying pretty much that she, you know, people suck or she don't like people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when she runs into Mahershala later, you know, is she acting like that because he's black or is she acting like that because she hates people? And so it was a lot of stuff that kind of played with that. And you were kind of like wondering. So a lot of things that, you know, the premise says, you know, Mahershala and a person with him is going to knock on the door and Julia Roberts is there with her husband and daughter and she's kind of questioning, is it him? And anything that could go wrong, that needed to go wrong, went wrong. So it could have been a simple thing as like, show me your ID. Well, he forgot it. He left it at the playhouse. Oh, you know, show me your email. Oh, my phone don't work. So it was all this stuff. Oh, I could prove to you if I could open up the cabinet. Oh, the key is taking a long time to open up. So it's just like this thing that would normally be squashed to for a simple thing to verify something or to confirm something. It wasn't there. And so that kind of stuff kind of made my nerves a little, but I think that's what the point of it was. But it was just interesting, the communication issues. You know, kind of remind me of Retrograde a little bit, where no matter what you try to do, the you know, the math ain't mathing. Even right. In the perfect situation, it'd be something simple that could resolve something. Everything was hard to resolve.
But there was one scene, though, in regards to you mentioning him with the keys, mm-hmm. trying to open a drawer. There yeah. was one scene that I felt like verified who he was, mm-hmm. ironically. He opened up that drawer. And he found the envelope with the money in it, and there was that gun in there, and he didn't get the gun. Just put it back in. I mean, he didn't even flinch. He just closed it.
Right.
I'm thinking, now, if you were someone who didn't really live there, you would have took that gun.
Well, his key wouldn't have worked, though. You know, if it wasn't his cabinet, well, I mean,
the key right, but he was going through so many keys, one yeah. could say he was guessing.
But they were still his keys.
I mean, I agree with you, yeah. but, you know, thinking through her mind,
yeah.
She's thinking, hey, this man, he ain't over there bullcrapping. Yeah. But like I said, when I saw the envelope and I saw the gun,
yeah.
a criminal would have just took both. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, and it didn't hit me at the time. It's hitting me now as I talk to you. Because like you, I was just caught up in that scene like it's all going wrong.
Yeah.
You know, who is he really? What's going on?
Right.
I knew something was going on, but I'm saying, okay, well, this gun's supposed to show fear. But to me, it's not really showing fear, it's showing me security, because like I said, if that wasn't his house, you know, he just would have took that gun, even if he didn't use it, just to have it, you know, and which he took later on, I think, anyway. But right. I think for me, in that scene, it was showing, okay, even though all this is going wrong, this gun is right here, he can easily take it and shoot everybody. But the fact that he's not doing that and he's leaving it in there lets me know this is his spot.
Yeah, he knew where the stuff was. So what did you think when they first got to the door? Okay, you seen the movie, you know what's up. So
yeah,
how different was it from what you thought it was going to be? Did you
completely different? Completely. Like I said, I didn't know if it was going to be on some purge shit. You know, yeah. I was because it kind of felt like it could have been.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't know it was going to be some black folks, a father and daughter, trying to get back into their house.
Right.
You know, yeah. and I feel like everybody watching this film, unless they knew about it ahead of the time, was probably thinking the same thing. Like, oh, this is his house? This is his Airbnb? Like, you know, like the couple.
Yeah.
Because yeah. They just assumed that the family was white.
Yeah.
They didn't see that, but you could tell a look on their faces. They just assumed it was a white family. They rented the Airbnb. Because black folks don't have Airbnbs. They don't have a nice home I'm going to rent.
Well, that's definitely what Julia Roberts' character seemed like she was acting like. I kind of believe it was their place when they went to the door, only because I figured, now, did I think it was a suspect? Because first when you seen him with his lady, you thought it was his woman, and you realize it's his daughter. But it was almost kind of like they're dressed up, and she's dressed up nice, but then she, you know, have all these tattoos and stuff and got this attitude. And so I kind of figured, like, they wouldn't necessarily be dressed like that, you know. I was kind of wondering, is this kind of like some supernatural kind of thing? That was the angle I was thinking. Because I kind of believe who they said they were when they said they lived there. I'm thinking that's a weird kind of thing to say. Like, if you're trying to be shady, you would try to say something to be a little bit more believable than I rented you the place. And how would, you know, because it's stuff like, because obviously I felt that he knew who they were. He knew their names. He knew where they, you know, that they were staying there. He knew, you know, that if you let me go in this cabinet here, you know, that kind of stuff. He had the key. And even though stuff like the ID and stuff to prove stuff took longer than I think it should have taken, you know, I'm sure it was done to pull up the tension and stuff. But I was almost thinking before, like, is this going to be a supernatural thing where these are, you know, aliens and they're a little bit off because they're not really supposed to be there? So, but you don't even know from the movie either. They kind of, like I said, they kind of stretch things out in a way where you can't really tell what's going on. Well, any other scenes that really stood out to you that you thought was either, you know, just kind of grabbed you or you thought was interesting?
The deers coming into the backyard and then disappearing. That was interesting. The red boat coming on the beach in the beginning. That was crazy. That was, and.
Well, he had that scene too when he went to a neighbor's house and he had the issue with the plane.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Oh. When Ethan Hawke came across the Latin lady on the side of the road.
Yeah.
That was, whew. See, and it's just like, okay, you fancy yourself this liberal progressive guy, the opposite of your wife. And when you got tested, you failed. you just drove off.
Well, he was more scared than anything. Yeah, it was definitely kind of like.
It's layered.
Yeah, you kind of definitely had an idea of if stuff really did fall apart or if it was what we think it is, then he wasn't going to last long.
Yeah, it's layer. Kevin Bacon was great in this film, too. He's such a great actor. He can play any role. He can be a good guy. Yeah. He can be a really, really good creepy guy. He can be a real good bad guy. It's scary how good he can be, how he can switch it on and off.
Yeah.
Julia and Robertson, Ethan Hawke's daughter, yeah, she got on my nerves. Yeah. I just didn't like her at all. And yeah, I felt she was, well, the kids were just kind of clueless and entitled anyway, especially her though.
Yeah.
So, but there was satire within it. Just thinking about that show Friends and how much she was obsessed with it. And how Mahershala's daughter was like, oh, I used to watch that. But she said something like it's not reality or something.
Yeah.
She said something dismissive. And it was funny how Julia Roberts didn't like how this black girl was just being dismissive to her. Like, how dare you do to me what I do to everyone else?
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, there were some key scenes, definitely. It was directed well. Even when Ethan Hawke's character was begging Kevin Bacon's character to help him save his son's life, and you know, because of his mouth.
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, that was one of his best scenes in the film.
Yeah, but even with that thing with the son getting sick, like, you didn't know if it was because of that bite or if it was because of some, you know, chemical agents, or is it because he was like affected by like an alien? Like, where was that sound coming from? So like I said, it was just a whole thing about like communication and how it could be used and used against you. You know, so the communication that was given, like those flyers that had questionable information on the flyers, like those sounds ringing and people are getting sick from the sound, or stuff that's automated, like boats and planes and even, you know, electric cars seemingly having a mind of their own. You know, it was just very, very interesting in how it didn't take much to kind of disrupt everybody and have everybody on their back foot. It didn't take long at all, with just a few things being gone, you know what I mean? And that's just from like phones alone or satellites or internet and stuff like that, how it just didn't really take that much. So towards the end, when Mahershala and Ethan Hawke saw Kevin Bacon, you know, that was Mahershala's handyman. They went to go see him because he's very resourceful. We see him in the beginning of the movie getting supplies and stuff like that. So they go see him about, you know, get a medicine for Ethan Hawke's son who was sick, and we're not quite sure what caused it. And So there's a discussion about what he thinks it is, because I know they try to make him as if he was losing it, right? They try to make it seem like he was just like this conspiracy theory guy who he's not sure and all this other kind of stuff, and you know, he could just be crazy or whatever. His explanation of things, what did you feel about his insight? And I mean, as far as like the stuff that he thought it was and what he was saying was happening, by seeing the movie, did you feel that you knew what was going on as far as what was actually happening to the people in the movie?
No, not until Mahershala had the conversation with Julia Roberts about his friend.
Really? Okay.
That's when it started clicking together for me. It reminded me about the producer, one of the, you know, a certain producer who would spend time with those type of people. And when he got called out, I said, oh, they're just old people I'm, you know, hanging out with. But it just, when he said, when he talked about, I don't know if he was an arms dealer, but our arms contract friend, who's very popular, and they're sitting there talking and drinking, and he talks about the couple of his evil friends he has to hang out with. That conversation Mahershala had with Julia Roberts' character and how serious he was.
Yeah.
That's when I knew, oh, okay, so this is definitely something going on with the government. Now, I didn't realize how detailed it was going to get to later on.
Yeah, because for me, it was kind of like, because I know the guy, he's like a financial investor, and he finds trends in monies and transactions and stuff like that. So he kind of helped people with placing monies in certain kind of accounts and things like that. So yeah, so that, and then also with the Kevin Bacon, when he was talking about, you know, like the government and pissing off too many different countries and countries getting together, and the whole thing about the confusion and cutting off certain systems and stuff and us kind of imploding on each other. You know, when he said that, that made total sense. The funny thing is, that's something that somebody would just be dismissive of and saying they're just making it up. But in this movie, it kind of showed how that could be true and how that actually can work.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. The whole thing was just a real trip.
It was. It was.
I mean, and the closer we get towards the ending, we start to see even more of it fall into place. Now, when Kevin Bacon's like, oh, it's the Chinese, it's the Koreans, you know, it's the Russians. I mean, there's like the top three list they go through. It's just like, check. And I'm just like, okay, well, maybe it's one of them, but I don't know. But now, what if it's just the government trying to take control? What if it's not the Chinese, Korean, or the Russian? What if it's the United States of America?
Right.
You know, that got to me. I was just like, I wasn't expecting any of this.
Yeah. Only reason I thought, too, that he was probably right about that, the different countries possibly working together, because we're tied to them in different ways. So one place you might be going for oil and resources. Another place you might be going to for tech.
Okay.
Or infrastructure and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And also, too, towards the end, when one of his neighbors was connected in some kind of way at the government, and they're kind of talking to some higher up somewhere, kind of saying, hey, you know, they done took down this and this and that, that you kind of knew that even the government was kind of in trouble. Because they kind of got them, too. I thought it was kind of interesting how the little girl kind of went off to her own thing, but I guess it's because she probably felt ignored by everybody and her getting kind of bullied by her brother and nobody listening to her. And I thought it was kind of interesting how the deer kind of led her to that home that was the home that they needed to get to in the first place, who would have all these resources and things like that. So I thought it was just kind of ironic. What did you think of the ending?
I thought it was funny. I thought it showed how shallow and self-involved and entitled that little girl is.
Huh.
I was just like, you know, because basically, as far as you know, the world's coming to an end. but she's got to do this one thing and watch this one thing, otherwise her life won't be complete. And I was just, you know, I shook my head, and I'm just like, no, they didn't. But considering who that character is, it felt very believable.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I thought so too. I thought it was just, to me, it was like a kid being a kid. And so, you know, the big things that adults would, you know, wonder and care about, little kids would be like, hey, I just, you know, it's like, you know, me cooking dinner and go shopping and spending hours cooking. And then, you know, the kid would be like, hey, I'll take a bowl of cereal. Like, they see things differently. They don't see how, you know, how much time would take or how important something is or the cost of something, really, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the kid was being a kid. And I heard, like, people having issues with the ending, with the kid just, you know, finally watching the show that she wanted to watch. And to me, I thought, since they gave so much other information, you know, like I said, the conversation that Mahershala had with Julia and Kevin Bacon and seeing his perspective and the thing about, you know, when they even got like the showered with the red pamphlets from the planes, the miscommunication, talking about he had a friend that was in Southern California who had the same kind of notifications, red notifications showered over the city as well, but there was in a different writing. And so that showed that, you know, the things he said about confusion by even where they're being attacked from was being messed with. So stuff like that. So that on top of the scene with Julia Roberts and Mahershala's daughter, who was actually seeing New York being attacked, you know, it's like, oh, okay. So the confusion's there for sure. We don't know exactly who's, but you know, it's connected to the government, be it ours or somebody else's government. When they were saying that they could possibly be hacked, that kind of makes sense because of the whole thing with the internet not working, with the automated planes and boats and cars being controlled and things like that. Cause they use the cars, you know, like the automatic cars, like the electric cars, like the Teslas, like things to block up the freeway so you can escape.
That was crazy.
You know, cause at first you might think this is all some random stuff, but you could see how it was like a coordinated attacks, you know, in a way. And so to see all that, I figured I got a pretty much good idea of what was going on and what they were dealing with. So to have a little quirky ending with the little girl watching the thing, to me it was the same way as having a quirky beginning with Julia Roberts, you know, kind of talking crazy to the camera. So I still enjoyed it, but I thought it was very interesting. And like we were saying before, and we alluded to, the producers of this was Barack and Michelle Obama were the producers for this movie. And to me, it almost took it to a whole other level. And it was funny, all the people who were like, you know, how that was almost a trending thing, almost bigger than the movie, was the fact that they were the producers of a movie like this. You know, it's just funny. It does matter where stuff comes from. And it's funny how if somebody who doesn't like you is asking you something simple like, how are you doing? It could be taken as a threat, depending on who the comment is coming from. So it's like, is this movie a threat or is it a warning? Or is just like, I happen to like this kind of stuff, and if I was gonna produce something, this is what I would produce. It's hard to tell because of where it came from. So I don't know, you know.
And that's the beauty of it. That's what we're all guessing.
Right.
Yeah, Barack and Michelle producing this, and we're like, are you warning me? What's right. going on?
Right.
That way we can't say we didn't know.
Right. But when I did a little investigating, I found out that, you know, Barack was a fan of that book that it's based off of, and then also the director who did Mr. Robot, who does all this conspiracy stuff. But still, it's just weird for this to be coming from that. It's just like, you know, it's almost like somebody's preparing your food with dirty hands. It's like, it makes a difference. It doesn't mean that it could mean nothing, but you just, it just, the twist is, is where it came from. It's almost bigger than the twist of the movie. So it's almost meta. It's almost meta in a way.
Yeah. But the ending, I was just like, you know, the daughter was being consistent with who she was. And it just made it more pathetic to me. Because you didn't tell people where you were going. There's no manners at all. So.
But she wasn't being highly neglected by her whole family. Like, nobody really listened to her. They kind of blew her off, you know, a lot. So, you know, it's almost like they don't have no concern for me. I don't have no concern for them. And you could tell she's up in their house eating up all that food and stuff. She didn't think about nobody. Hey, I found some popcorn over here. She went through it.
Yeah, she just bounced. She's just like,
you saw bags and opportunity all over that kitchen table where she was eating all that food to herself and watching her movies and stuff. And I will say, as a movie lover, when I saw that, was all those DVDs and movies, I saw like Buffy the Vampire Slayer in the stack of DVDs and stuff, and I was thinking like, man, yeah, if I had to go, I would hate to say it, if I felt like it was nothing else I could do and we were just stuck, that's exactly what I'd be doing, sitting in front of that TV with all my movies and just trying to get as many in before my days were up. But I can do that.
Yeah. Like, I can do that. I mean, I don't know, for me, I don't know. I mean, man, definitely would love to watch my movies, but I'd love to see one good last concert, I guess. And just immerse myself in music.
In that situation, you would have had a record player. And they had a wonderful record player and record collection on there too. Like for somebody who likes that kind of stuff, and you know, we collect music and movies and stuff like that, to me it was just kind of funny how for some people that would be like a nightmare. For us, it'd be like, okay, we would do that anyway.
Yeah, you know? Basically. That's true.
So it's just funny how that goes. But when people thought like, man, I'll be trapped in that small place, or I'll be trapped in that house. And all I saw was all those movies and hours of entertainment and all that beautiful music and that wall and shelves of music and of records and stuff. I'm like, wow. So it was funny. It was funny.
Yep. Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely say that Leave the World Behind would be a film that would definitely be studied as the years go by. I think it's because of its content, because of what they did and how they did it. Like I said before, the film is definitely layered, because we see the prejudices that people have, and then we see what happens when they go past that and get back to that human core. Like, for example, Julie Roberts' character did not like Mahershala's daughter. But when they got to that cabin and all those deer were surrounding them, and they got in fight or flight, they started working together. And then towards the end, they're hugging. So it's just like, okay, so now we've broken through the false constructs. We've broken through the prejudice, and now we're just human beings. And now we know we're on the same boat. You know, we had that for a moment with the pandemic. And you get to see a taste of that in this film when they really realize what's going on. And, you know, because when you see the daughter just looking and she can't even move and look at her face, and then Julia comes over and she sees it and she has to comfort her. And even before that, when she talks about her mom, like, being gone, and Julia just she starts softening. And like I said, you know, we started seeing her humanity come. You know, it was buried. So
even the thing with the mom was almost suspicious too, because you didn't know if she was lying about that or if he was lying about it. And then you kind of find out the reason why he wasn't saying, because he didn't know or didn't hear from his wife. So she could have possibly passed away. And that's why he's being cryptic, not for Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke, but for his own daughter. So like I said, it was all this communication stuff that was just kind of trippy. Like, you know, I give it to them for that, because it was kind of like, who are you being shady for? We're assuming you being shady for this particular person, but actually you being kind of, you know, quiet and shady for somebody else. So it was a lot of that kind of played with.
Well, yeah, and he was looking at his cell phone and he saw all her messages, then they all stopped.
Right, and then his wasn't going through anymore.
This is always going to be a movie that makes you think. Yeah. It's very thought-provoking and provocative, so hats off to the Obamas for producing that, because I never would have thought for two people who seem to be kind of like Hollywood now, that wasn't really a Hollywood movie. That was a very gritty movie. Like, oh, let's let you see behind, get past our surface now. Since we ain't in office no more, check this out.
Right. But it's also somebody who probably likes those kind of stories and stuff, because I don't think it would have been made without them. You know what I mean? I don't know if it would have been. It could have been, but it seemed like it would have been done before this if that was the case. So, it just goes to show how, when you kind of have power, you could definitely make things happen or give light on things that normally wouldn't get to shine.
And when Mahershala Ali was talking to Julie Roberts, he grabbed her by the arm. But no, I'm not joking about this. About my friend, his Kabul of evil people, and how he called me, told me to take care of myself.
Yeah.
At that point, I was like, was that Barack talking to her? About his evil friend. But, you know, and even when the daughter was like, no, this is our house and we're sleeping in the basement. You know, and she was right. You know, once again, why is we as black people, why we gotta always be the bigger people?
Yeah.
This is my shit. Yeah. You know, they left and came back. Right. Bring your asses down here.
Now, you know, if it's the other way around, you know, it would have been a whole different movie.
Yes. Yes.
Whole yes. Different movie.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of this film. Because it's still, you know, when you get past the layers, but it still throws things in your face. Mm-hmm. You got to pay attention. You know, but it's all there. It's all there. But yeah. Yeah. I definitely recommend it. Like I said, I would own that. Yeah. That's a movie that you can always probably talk about and try to dissect. And there's not too many films you get that way anymore.
True.
And for that to be something that was streaming on Netflix speaks volumes. Right. And people wonder why Netflix is so popular. And they wonder. They've just gotten better and more diverse with their content. Right. Regular television is garbage. But I'm done. All right. I don't want to go on a tangent.
No, but I like I said, I enjoyed it as well. I don't think it's for everybody, but it's like I said, since it's on Netflix, it's worth a watch. But if you have a hard time with slow burns, or if you have a hard time with movies kind of being convoluted and not being, you know, just hand feeding you everything, all the answers, then yeah, it's probably you're probably not going to enjoy it. And also, if you do enjoy it and you kind of, you know, question things, the fact, like I said, that Obama's producing this, it's another factor in how you'll feel about this.
Well, and it's amazing because it ties into the mystery and the lore of the film.
Yeah.
In a sense, it's brilliant. Yeah. It's brilliant that's a part of the marketing. It's just like, they did this? Because now everyone's like shaking their head, scratching their head like, what's going on? You know?
Yeah, yeah. The sad part is we already know what's going on. It's a business as usual.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But it was interesting, like with Mahershala and his situation with the powerful people that he's connected to, it even showed, even with them, that even with the powerful, you know, the only benefit they kind of get above everybody else is just like, you know, a heads up.
Yeah.
But they still fall subject to it. But they just get a little warning a little bit, you know, sooner than the rest of us. And so I thought that was very interesting, too.
Well, you might be in the 10%, but you're not the 1%. You're in the 10, so I'll give you a heads up.
Right. Because
the other, no, 90, they ain't getting nothing.
Right. Everybody's still on the same sinking ship. The, you know, just the people that was looking over the deck got a heads up first.
Yeah, that's deep in itself. You're right.
Same boat, though.
Yeah.
So, sometimes the situation is bigger than all of us, and we just get a heads up.
That. You're right, bro.
So, yeah. So, all right. That was Jay and Captain Keith discussing the Netflix movie Obama's produced. Thriller, mystery, drama, Leave the World Behind, now on Netflix. Until next time, peace.
See you somewhere out in space.
This is Jay. Be sure to check out past and future episodes of this show, available now on all streaming platforms. If you'd like to hear more from us, please check out my other podcast entitled Jay's Other Podcast, along with Captain Keith's other podcast entitled Clef Signs, spelled K-L-E-F-S-I-G-N-S, which are both now available on all streaming platforms.